Hello, and welcome back to Holla Chat. This is Bobby.
And I'm Rachel, and we are talking about episodes of Imitation again, as we have been doing. Sorry, really got away from me. I don't think we should redo it. So I'm talking
It's episode 7 and 8.
Yeah, we're talking about episodes 7 and 8 of Imitation. My body doesn't want to do it. That's why. Sorry, it was so hard to get through. I told one of my friends who is not an 18-y, but is a K-drama fan. She loves K-dramas. I told her that we were doing this, mm-hmm. and she asked me if I hated myself.
I was reading there's a discussion like board on Viki.
Okay.
And so I was reading through that and there was just one, I didn't read like every single one, but there was just one single person that was like, man, Maha's wig, I just can't. And I was like, everybody else was like,
that
oh,
was
yeah,
me,
she's
actually.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's my Viki account.
Yeah, one single person that was like, those extensions. Can't do it. Everyone else was having a great time. Some people were like, wow, this is the greatest drama I've ever seen. I was like, have you seen other dramas?
Maybe
not. Are you sure?
I mean, if you don't watch dramas and you were just a fan of, like, I'm going to say one of the SF9 boys, mm-hmm. or Jung-ho, I don't think the other ones are in it enough to really, like, give.
Yeah, if you came here as a San stan, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're not going to get befed very much.
Even the SF9 boys.
Yeah. I mean, Hwayoung is in there enough.
Yeah.
Chani, he comes and goes. He's a ghost.
I mean, that's kind of the point of his character, but it does seem like an underutilization of him. He's a pretty good actor, so.
Listen, you want to talk about underutilization? I could go on about underutilization. And I have thoughts and feelings about that.
Well.
But shall we?
Yep, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's take me get into take me it. Through these episodes so I can relive it for a
seven.
Fourth time.
So episode 7, we start off with a recap of the, of course, we got to have that recap. We start off with the leading up to the stunt that Kwon-Rok had done that had led to him getting injured.
Yes.
And I would like to reiterate that when the Maha that he sees that causes him to lose his focus, she's like not even looking at him. She looks like she's just staring down at the ground morosely. And I'm like, why is that what causes you to crash?
Because you had said that, I paid attention to her this time. Since, you know, they force me to rewatch scenes mm-hmm. I've already seen, I specifically mm-hmm. paid attention to her. And I was like, yeah, she does look a bit like a ghost.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what was upsetting. He thought she had mm-hmm. died and was there to haunt him.
Maybe that was it. He was like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know she was dead. Passed away. So anyway, he gets into his accident. And I would, big shout out to Yuno for the running moment. Big shout out to Yuno for the running moment. Mm-hmm. He just was like, he was getting there. He does get all the way there. He sees, you know, everybody else is crowding out, you know, pulling Kwon-Rok out of the car, which again, I think you would point out, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, especially just like bodily, like yank on
him. Yeah, like he could have a broken back and you're just like ruining his whole life. So Yujin's kind of standing back, watching everybody else help. He glances over at Maha because of course he does.
Uh-huh. He had to be embarrassing in this moment.
Right. Sees that she's crying and it really starts putting pieces together. He's kind of figured it out. Mm-hmm. I did write, this scene does not warrant this music.
I wrote, you're embarrassing me. So
I could have put that for so many characters. Like even my girl Leah lets me down in this couple of episodes, but we'll get there. So we go to the hospital. Tea Party mm-hmm. is standing outside the hospital huddled together, like away from the crowds.
Apparently nobody sees them. Yeah. Like them standing outside of the hospital for, it's implied that it is like 8-9 hours that they're
it's been
standing
a long time.
Outside mm-hmm. of this hospital. And it is mm-hmm. very stupid.
Yeah. And it's also very cold outside. Mm-hmm. So it's like, anyway, Maha's just like distressed. She's weeping. But like... I don't care.
Well, Shaq's arrived. Hold on. Because this mm-hmm. upsets me later. Mm-hmm. Hyunji is having a rough couple of episodes.
Yeah. Hyunji's in a low point right now.
But she's like, oh, oh, what if he doesn't wake up? And then, like, looks at Maha and sees that that upsets Maha. And then is like, oh, but he'll wake up. And then later she gets mad that they hadn't told her about, like, that there was something going on. And it's like, well, you knew. Like, you knew that she...
Well, I think what she gets mad about is that, like, it wasn't just Maha had a crush. It's that Maha and Quadrock have been, like, going out together.
Yeah.
And, like, that Leah knew what was going on, but that they had never discussed it as a group. I'm team Hyunji on this one.
Oh, I am, too.
I will always choose Hyunji over Maha every time.
I will as well. I thought it was weird that...
It is weird. But, listen, people act real dumb. I feel like we're hitting a low point as far as stupidity goes in these couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Shax arrive. The fans are all there crowding around. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why are we letting fans just be outside the hospital? Why is that happening? Daquan is fully freaking out.
Daquan, a high point for this.
Daquan really, really, we're earning his paycheck in these couple of episodes, just being delightful.
When he was, like, really upset about Quadrock being injured and not waking up, it was like, oh, this man is a very good actor. It is nice that they finally gave him something to do.
Yeah. I mean, he's an excellent comedic actor as well. Like, his comedic timing is really fantastic. His facial expressions are really, really good. Mm-hmm. His physicality is really, really good. He and Quadrock do play off of each other really well.
Yes.
So it, you know, in the same way that, like, Hyuk and Dojin play off of each other really well, it's the same kind of just a lot, you know, that push and pull between them that I think is really good. So Daquan is fully freaking out. Parjin Man is there. He's getting updates on what's going on. Mm-hmm. He's very cold about it, though, like, really detached. Just seems more irritated than anything else.
He really gives it to Daquan for, like, letting this happen. And it's like... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, for the record, it doesn't appear that Daquan ever tried to talk Quadrock out of doing the stunt himself. That was never, like, even a discussion that was had. Mm-hmm. And he does say, I think it comes later, but he does say that the stunt wasn't that difficult and, you know, nothing should have happened. And nothing would have happened because he had done the rehearsal and everything was fine. The problem is he got distracted by Maha, who should not have been on set because she had no business being there. There is a cute little scene where Hyuk is outside, like, the glass, like, surgery, the frosted glass surgery doors, and he and Dojin are trying to peek through and see what's going on. We go back outside to where Tea Party are standing out in the cold. Leah tells Maha, you know, if anything happens, there will be an article about it. So we don't have to stand right here where we're not going to see what's going on.
Right.
We can go home and be normal people.
Right.
At the coffee shop, the reporter shows up and she grills Jiak about Quadrock. She's like, what's going on? Not about Quadrock. About Eunjo. Then she gets the call about Quan, like, she gets the call about, oh, there's an accident. Big idol Quadrock has been injured. She says that energy must be blocking the articles to the, you know, they're filtering the news to about what's going to go out. And then after she leaves, Eunjo calls Jiak. And that's it. We don't know anything about the conversation. He just calls. Eunjo really starts lurking around a lot. Like, he's just kind of out in the background doing stuff. Not super clear what exactly he's doing or what he's bringing to the plot. But we're just reminded he's still here.
One assumes that he has seen the news about Quadrock and is wanting to know if he's okay.
Right. I mean, I don't know that he wouldn't call Jihawk for that, though. I think that there is a scene where he finds out, but I think that is, I don't know. It hardly matters. So, back at the hospital, this is when Jin Man is really mad at Daquan and really berating him for allowing Quadrock to do the stunt. Daquan feels extremely guilty.
He does.
Because part of the reason is because he had pushed so many schedules on Quadrock, he feels like it was it because he was so tired from all the schedules that have had him on to keep him away from Maha, and that's why he ended up having the accident. And that really explains a lot of his actions over the next couple of episodes, that it's like, have you gone insane?
La Rima also blames him. I think that comes in later, but she basically says he's had too many schedules.
Yeah, that does come in later. So Daquan gets a call from Jiak wanting to know what's going on. Jin Man is getting in his car and that reporter runs up and is questioning him, and I'm like, ma'am, gracious. He's actually very cool about it. Doesn't act the way you would imagine him to act. Because Jin Man is, like, not very forthcoming, and because he's leaving, I think she just decides, oh, okay, Conrad must not be that hurt because right. the CEO doesn't seem that worried about him. In the very next scene, Shax talks about, oh, actually, he's fine. He's just going to be in the hospital for a couple days. It's all going to be okay. Well,
it was a little confusing because they were like, he's fine. Nothing's wrong with him. But it mm-hmm. seemed like he was in a coma, like that he wasn't waking up.
Right.
So that was a little confusing to me. I was like, why? If he's fine, is he fine or is he in a coma? And they don't know why he's in a coma. Like, what is... Because, you know, Daquan's, like, really crying over his mm-hmm. body. Like, oh, my right. God, wake up, wake up. And he's, like, not getting up, so...
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I couldn't understand.
Don't look for answers from me. Larima does show up, and I'm a real Larima stan in yeah. these episodes. She's... I've said it before, but she is one of the best characters.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find it interesting that with the way that she shows up at the hospital, fully public, everybody sees her going in, I'm like, okay, why is nobody suspecting her of having a relationship with Quan Rock?
Yeah.
Like, why would that not be a problem? Because right. I would imagine that would be a problem for people if right. people think Larima, famous soloist, is dating Quan Rock, famous boy group member. Like, why is nobody, I mean, she seems to just do whatever she wants, which mm-hmm. I love about her, but yeah. I just find it very interesting that, like, nobody has any, there are no rumors about her and Quan Rock together, even though she's being so public. Like about going where he is and showing up with him and things like that.
It reminds me mm-hmm. of when we went to see AT's in Duluth, and we were I'm gonna connect it, don't worry.
Okay.
When we had Sector VIP mm-hmm. and we were like there toward, we were, you know, like two rows back, and then some girls just kind of like came through and they were like, excuse me. And then they just got in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
They just did it. That's how those girls who didn't have VIP got in front of us. They just did it. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. that's how Larima gets away with it. She just does it. Yeah. Like, if Maha and the rest of Tea Party would have just walked in and, like, not acted like it was a big deal, maybe it wouldn't have been a big deal. But instead, Maha's, like, sniveling and, like, she is so annoying in this part. And it continues into a long time.
She's annoying always and forever. I feel like it's at the point now where she's gotten on my nerves so much over so many different things that even when she does something that is totally normal and fine, I'm still annoyed just because it's her.
This is what I was noticing, and this probably isn't the correct way to place to talk about it, but whatever. There's no consistency to her character. She, mm-hmm. you know, there's moments where she's with Quan Rock and like it's very cute and they're having mm-hmm. cute conversations, and then 10 seconds later she's acting like she's scared of him, like physically yeah. afraid of him in a way that's like I don't believe this is a girl who likes him. She mm-hmm. looks physically afraid. Like not mm-hmm. in a like a cute shy way, like she looks afraid of him.
Yeah, I remember that the very first time I watched it, that was something that stood out to me, is that at no point does it make any sense for Quan Rock and Maha both ways to be really interested in each other.
Yeah.
And like the way that they don't have any sort of chemistry at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. They in fact seem to be very like opposing, as in like neither one of them seems to really want to be around the other ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when they act like they are attracted to each other, it feels extremely forced.
Yes.
So Maha acts a lot in these two episodes. There are times when she acts like she doesn't want to be around him. She's not sure how to
she's
act
like shrinking away yeah. from him.
And in the scene that we're about to get to in a little bit with the other actor, Wu Bin or something like that.
Yeah. She looks
so
fine.
Much more chemistry. Like, what are you talking about? It's so
crazy.
Bizarre.
And like she has, there are a couple of episodes in, or a couple of moments in these two episodes where it's like she has some chemistry with Quan Rock. She'll like say mm-hmm. a little joke and she'll, mm-hmm. you know, kind of smile and he thinks mm-hmm. it's cute. And you're like, okay. And then like a second later, she's literally cringing away from him. It reminds mm-hmm. me of when I watched Boys Over Flowers and it was so clear that Jandy was a lesbian. and that she didn't want to kiss Junpyo.
she's only attracted to elf lords.
Right.
Like, that's it.
She's not attracted
other women
to Junpyo.
And elf lords.
It's the same thing. I'm like watching Maha not be attracted to Quan Rock, and it's like she's clearly not attracted to him. She's not acting like she's attracted to him in any way.
Mm-mm. Absolutely bizarre. Anyway, so Lurima does show up. She goes goes right into the hotel room, walks right through the Shax members, and then stops as she passes them. And she's like, how is he? They're like, oh, he's fine. And then she's like, okay. So she goes into the hospital room, blames Daquan. She's like, why are you making his schedule so busy? And then she's like, well, now I've seen his face and I'm fine. And then she leaves. And I'm like, I love her so much. So at Sparkling's dorm, Minsoo has ordered chicken.
Crazy.
Minsoo has ordered chicken to share with Se-young. It's always those two having a good time together.
They seem to enjoy their life.
Yeah. I feel like San and Sanghwa were like, listen, it's a bit part. We're just going to have a good time with it. Hyuno. Uh-huh. What a weird guy.
Yeah. He's like looking at this news article about Kwon Rok being hurt, just smiling. Like he's so happy. Like this just filled his soul with joy. And it's like, I know. That's so creepy. He's like so weird.
The creepiest character. Yujin comes in. He and Kiddo, he and Hyuno get into an argument about, you know, what all of this means.
It's interesting because what's his name, the creepy roommate, he's like, you were always fighting with him, so why aren't you happy about this? And it does establish something good about Eugene's character. He's like, well, I didn't want him to die. I'm not crazy.
He has a flashback of Maha crying when he of course he does. And he gets into his bed, like makes a point of pulling back the covers so that he can get into his bed in his street clothes. Yujin, what are you doing? Maha calls him just asking for news because, you know, since they're on the same drama, she's like, maybe he knows something that other people don't know. A theme, people calling other people to get news about other people is a thing that's going to happen. Back at the hospital, I have MH refuses to leave.
I assume this is Maha still standing outside.
Oh, right. Because she hasn't got back to her dorm yet. So Maha is refusing to leave. Lurima leaves the hospital and sees Maha standing across the street. Because Larima's like the only person in this whole drama that pays attention to anything.
Yeah.
And she's like, why is she here? Get it together. The next morning, Jaewoo wakes up Lee Hyun and they've stayed overnight at the hospital in this enormous hospital suite. And he's like, hey, Kwon Rok's going to be fine. Let's just go. I put Daekwon's really going through it.
Yeah, he is really
struggling. He does feel guilty about all of the schedules and he makes a promise to Kwon Rok as Kwon Rok is asleep. He makes a promise that he will let Kwon Rok do whatever he wants. He will make it up to him. And Kwon Rok just wakes up and he's like, is that a promise? Do you promise that's what you're gonna do?
Which again, like, was through this like day where, you know, his bandmates were sleeping over to make sure he was okay. Was he faking it? Was he in a coma and he just magically woke up now, or was he pretending that he couldn't wake up because he didn't want to deal with it? Like, because that's kind of a little rude to his bandmates who were sleeping there to, you know, make sure he was okay.
I think the way they play it is that he was actually so exhausted. So, like, he was sleeping the whole time. He was just so tired. He was so tight. So
that's weird.
Yeah, it is super weird. But name one thing about this drama that isn't weird.
Because, like, if you try to wake someone up, they would, like, open their eyes and be like, oh, I'm tired. Go back to sleep. Right? Like, they would do something. Like, they wouldn't... They wouldn't be like they were in a coma. Whatever. Listen, it's fine.
I don't know why you're looking for logic from Imitation. That's not how any of this drama works. So at the coffee shop, Tea Party are waiting.
I didn't take notes on this section, but I wrote, this is so stupid, I can't. So.
Tea Party are waiting. G-Hawk drives Maha.
I think what the show is trying to imply is that Leah and Hyunji were making sure that Maha went to her schedule because otherwise she would still be standing outside of that hospital. So they brought her so that Ji-Hawk could pick her up.
Okay, I will accept that. So Ji-Hawk does drive her to her sitcom. Okay. We get subjected to more Maha dancing. So she's at the studio. She's dancing. She's at the sitcom. And she's, you know, chilling, and Hyuk and Dojin are there, and they're just great. And then Maha is standing over here on set, and the director's like, okay, do your dance. And she does her dance.
And it's bad.
It's terrible. The director says, no, do it in a funny way. She does it. the exact same way that she just did it. And he's like, yes, that. And I'm like, so Hyuk and Dojin are like, wow, why is he changing the dance when she's been practicing forever? Why is he just now changing it?
Because they're in a comedy. What is happening? They're in a sitcom and they know it. I
put that Maha freaks out, and I'm assuming that she's freaking out about Kwon Rock. I guess maybe she asked, I don't know why my notes are a little sketchy here, but she maybe asks Hyuk and Dojin how he's doing. I put Hyuk gets an impish smile. Mm-hmm. I assume because he's figuring out that, okay, she's A, because when Kwon Rock had been trying to explain the problem without giving any names, Maha was A and Kwon Rock was B.
Right.
And then, so Hyuk is kind of figuring it out. They meet with Daekwon, and Daekwon asks about Maha. He's like, so how's Maha doing? Is she here? Jihak figures out Kwon Rock likes Maha. Okay, so there's like a meeting of the managers here. Mm-hmm. Daekwon's like, I need to take Maha to the hospital.
This is crazy to me. Why doesn't Jihak come? Why doesn't Jihak come? Why isn't he coming?
I'm not going to lie. Jihak drops the ball a little bit in these episodes, I think. Like, there are some times where he just seems to be fully behind, doesn't really know what's going on. And I'm like, I thought I could trust you. You are not doing what I need you to do. So he sends Maha off with Daekwon and with Hyuk and Dojin in the back seat, and nobody notices until they like pop up afterwards.
One assumes that Daekwon was always supposed to take Hyuk and Dojin home. Because that's weird that they didn't, like, they have to go to the schedules by themselves and they don't have, like a driver and a manager to drive them around.
They don't have a second manager, which is crazy that they don't have a second manager, but they don't. So why is Daekwon surprised that they're in the car where they're supposed to be? It's really wild. So they go to the hospital. Hyuk and Dojin get let out in the front. I assume that they're supposed to be part of, like, a diversion tactic where nobody's paying attention to where the van is going if Hyuk and Dojin get out.
And it's cute. They look like they're having a cute little fun time. They're happy to help.
They always are. He takes Maha around to the back. Kwon Rock, meantime, he's up, he's awake, he's in his hospital bed, and he's trying to decide how he's going to act when Maha gets here. He's like, am I going to be awake? Am I going to be asleep? What should I do? Mm-hmm. When Maha comes in and he like slams himself down on the bed and acts like he's been asleep the whole time and is passed out, is in a coma. I don't know what he's going for, but he's out. Maha comes in and like really cries, like bursts into tears, is fully crying, does the whole bedside confession, and she brings up the stupid pouch. She says, and you still have to give me my pouch back. And I'm like, I am gonna start punching people.
Well, that pouch makes a stupid triumphant return in the epilogue. It's incredible. Anyways.
Kwon Rock sits up after this confession. Maha gets hiccups, but she, as an actress, doesn't know what a hiccup is. And so she just, her version of a hiccup is just a quick intake of breath. So she keeps doing that. Kwon Rock does this thing where he like covers her ears with his hands. Apparently that's like a Korean remedy. I've never heard of it. I got the hiccups last night and it did not help me. I had to eat a spoonful of peanut butter, which is the only thing that ever works. He confesses to her that he also likes her. And then he kisses her, and it's another like flat face just smashing their faces together lightly.
In her love confession, she does talk about how her favorite scene was the kiss scene, and she had hoped that they would, that would be, here's my issue. Okay. I don't have like a room or a board big enough to highlight all of my issues, but my biggest issue with that is that both of them wanted to redo this kiss scene as an excuse to kiss each other. That's crazy. They wanted to do this in front of a bunch of other people. They wanted to have a bunch of witnesses to them kissing. Like, that is all they could imagine. That is crazy.
I do know that Kwon Rock had said when he was like voting for the thing, he was like, I'll get to see her again if this is the scene that we have to do, because that's when Daekwon was trying to keep them apart.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was his motivation. I don't know why on earth Maha would want to recreate this in front of people, especially given the backlash that happened with the fandom last time.
It was so weird.
And like, okay, I mean, you're not, it's like her mouth is saying one thing, mm-hmm. but her whole personality is saying something completely different about how she feels about Quan Rock. And it's very upsetting to me.
I tried to like remove myself from myself mm-hmm. because as you were saying, like, Maha has done me so wrong that it is really hard to just watch it. So I was, like, watching her cry before the hiccups. That was really bad. And I was like, you know, she looks like she's crying. She really mm-hmm. looks like she's upset. So if you just, like, isolate that, you're like, okay, that was a good, she did good acting. The problem is that in isolation it works. But I do not believe in their relationship, and I do not believe her commitment to him. So in the context of the show, like, none of it makes sense. So it doesn't matter that the actress herself is doing a good job in that scene. It doesn't work because there's no consistency to Maha's character. There's no reason to believe this is how she would act. There, like, nothing has led up to this moment where this actress is doing an okay job with the scene.
Yeah.
Unlike with Daquan, who had a similar scene, mm-hmm. but you've had, like, we have had the lead up to that. That felt earned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you've got a situation where your two leads are not supposed to be together, and so mm-hmm. they never actually spend any real time together, and their mm-hmm. only interactions have been very, like, antagonistic mm-hmm. for the most part, mm-hmm. then it makes no sense for them, for her to be, like, weeping over him when, like, when have you even been friends with him at this point?
Right. I mean, supposedly they have this relationship in the past, but we have not seen it develop. We've gotten these flashbacks that I don't understand, quite frankly. Like, I don't understand what time period that was. I don't understand how close they were. I don't understand how long it was.
Yeah. It feels like it was really quick from the time where she gets, like, starts being involved in whatever his group is mm-hmm. to the point where he gets recruited and yoinked off the streets by mm-hmm. Ji-hawk. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you haven't, like, you can say, oh yeah, they really knew each other, but you haven't shown me that. So I don't believe it.
I don't know what my note is for, and I don't know if it's related to her crying or if this is a different scene later. So I'm going to let you go. I'm going to, okay. Because I think it's a different scene. It says I miss you scene in parentheses. So
after, so he confesses, they kiss. Meanwhile, Dojin and Hyuk have been speaking to the fans to let them know mm-hmm. how Quan Rock is doing. They're outside. I just have, in all caps, Jong-o. And I feel like there is this moment, and perhaps you know the moment, where he and Dojin are standing outside and he gets hit by this. He's like standing by a streetlight and it's sunny and he's standing in the sun and the wind is blowing and he just looks glorious.
Yeah.
I think that's what this is. It was just a real Jong-o moment. And I was just like, yes, Jong-o.
And Jong-o continues to shine in these episodes.
He really does.
A bright spot.
At Tea Party's dorm, Maha comes home. She gets a call from Quan Rock. I put that she freaks out. She does. She's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, why are you freaking out?
This is it. This is my note. My note is she a child? ? Good God. Like, because she's like, this is it. She had just cried over his hurt body, and now she's mm-hmm. acting scared of him. Like, it's crazy.
Like, okay, you didn't just, like, do your love confessions and kiss, and now you're freaking out because he's calling you? Ma'am, you are out of order. Like, that's a thing that you do before the confession.
And it's not like when you don't know. It's not like a happy, giddy freaking out. It is like she is scared for her life. It's weird.
Here's the thing about this actress. I do not think she is a comedic actress. I don't mm-hmm. think she knows how to do mm-hmm. lighthearted emotions. And I think that is why she seems so, like, downtrodden and somber when she's mm-hmm. supposed to be, like, this electric center of this group. Like, this whole drama hinges on her, and I don't believe it because you've cast this actress who is just full of sorrow.
Right.
And that's why she's so good at the crying scenes. Like, she did really well at the drama because the drama was a drama. Mm-hmm. Now she's like, whenever she's supposed to be like happy and cheerful or nervous, it comes across as like anxiety ridden or nervousness instead of like a fluttery, ooh, butterflies. She can't do butterflies. She can only do doom and gloom.
Yeah, she can't do the, like, there is... I was actually thinking about the K-drama True Beauty. Do you remember True Beauty? Mm-hmm. The girl who's supposed to, you know, she learns how to do makeup and she gets really beautiful. That actress, I can't even remember her name, but she has so much charisma.
Yes.
And, like, even when she, you know, didn't have her makeup on, like, you wanted to watch her. And she was still awkward. Like, she was pulling that awkward energy that I think maybe Maha is supposed to be having in these scenes. Like, she's awkward. It doesn't play as awkward, though. It plays as scared.
Yeah.
Which is, no one wants to watch a romance between a woman who is scared and a man. Like, that is very uncomfortable.
Right. Especially when the man is, like, constantly, like, pushing her.
Right.
You know, like, he's pursuing, but he's pursuing kind of aggressively.
Right.
And you need somebody who can match that energy and who can, like, no. She seems very much like a scared little rabbit being hunted by, like, a wolf. And I'm like, that's not, maybe some people are into that vibe. That is not the vibe that I am going for.
It does remind me of Boys Over Flowers, of the Junpyo John D dynamic. John D's scared of Junpyo, and Junpyo's going for it. Which,
see, but John D had a backbone, and she could at least stand up to that.
Yeah.
Whereas Maha looks like she is about to crumble in the wind at any moment, and all she will leave behind is her extensions blowing like a tumbleweed down the street.
She's like that little tiny butter or the ballerina napkin that Yoon-ho made. That's what she's like a little... Yeah,
one drop of water and she disintegrates. That's the vibe that she gives. She gives like this very fragile vibe when she's supposed to be very strong. And that, again, it's a terrible miscast. And it's so upsetting because I do feel like that is the problem with this drama.
Yeah.
Like, everything else I can overlook. Like, the bad writing... It's not, fine. The editing, whatever. But the fact that I can't emotionally connect to the story because this main character is so bad for this role.
Right.
Just really takes me out of it every single time. And I'm like, if you just imagine, if we just take out every single Maha scene, not even just only the AT scenes, but like we take out every Maha scene and we're only watching all the rest of this drama, it's delightful. Like every scene that she's not in, I feel such a relief. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. Now it's just Daequan. Oh, it's just Larima. Oh, it's just Hyunji. And it's like, I can breathe. She comes back on screen and I'm like, okay, what stupid thing is about to happen?
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway.
Wait, hold on. No, this isn't the part where I wrote, oh my God, we're only 30 minutes through. We haven't gotten there yet. That's right.
We're not even
yet. Folks. We've been recording for almost 40 minutes, and we are not 30 minutes through this episode.
Anyway, so Maha freaks out. Kwon Rok seems to think that Maha freaking out is very cute, and I'm like,
It's not. It looks like she's scared.
Leah, who sleeps in, like, the living room.
Yeah, I was wondering about this, too. Like, why is she always sleeping in the living room?
I am assuming it is either because she's the youngest of the group, which could track. I know that Maha is older than they are.
Right.
So that's why Maha gets her own room. I'm assuming Hyunji also has her own room because she is never sleeping in the living room. So I guess this is just, like, a two-bedroom
In the apartment. First episode... Hyunji and Maha share a room, but Hyunji is never seen in that room again.
No.
Oh, it's really unclear.
Well, that was a different dorm. That was their Omega dorm. Yeah, okay. So they've moved into a nicer place now that's still relatively small, I guess.
I'm just going to like, Leah can't have a bunk bed with someone? Like, this is so weird. Why is
this is very strange. Especially given she's the leader. So you would think that, like, her position would give her some sort of, like, a perk of some sort. But she doesn't. She's sleeping in the living room. But she is awake, and she accuses Maha. She's like, where have you been? And Maha cannot open her mouth and just explain this is what happened. Daequan, an adult, took me to go see Kwan Rock because, you know, of whatever. Like, she couldn't just tell her what's going on. I'm like, this is why I'm so frustrated with you.
Yeah.
Because you should have just been open with your group members.
Right.
To tell them, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, trying to sneak around and lie, you should have just told her in plain, simple terms, I went to go see Kwan Rock. Daequan took me. Jihawk knew I was going.
That's not, like, Jihawk knows. Jihawk was there when Daequan took her. So why are we keeping it from Lia and Hyunji? This is crazy.
It is crazy. At the Shack Storm, Daequan, Hyuk, and Dojin show up.
So
they
good.
Just collapse on the sofa after all of this. They're like, oh my gosh.
Jungho is wearing a sweatshirt that says Florida for anyone who's in Florida. I feel like that's fun
that's
for you.
That's for you. Yes. they collapse on the sofa, and then they all like sit up really straight when Jaewoo and Lee Hyun come in. Mm-hmm. They've got very much like, don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious vibes.
Which is very fun. And they're like,
it is so fun.
As soon as the boys like walk past them, they kind of collapse back into each mm-hmm. other and give each other like fist bumps and like, mm-hmm. you know, they feel like a little cohesive team unit with good chemistry.
They do. Like, I noticed the way that like Jongo was so like relaxed, just totally laying on top of Dojin. I'm like, he and what's his name? Park Yuri must have been like pretty good friends through all of this. Like they must have like really liked each other because it's hard to be physically comfortable with people mm-hmm. if you don't have like a friendly enough relationship with them.
Well, I think someone had said that Jungho was the one who invited Park Yuri to the thing.
That makes sense because he never interacted with the other ones.
Yes.
Yujin a little bit, but well, that's fun though. So that means they're still keeping in touch, which makes me feel joy in my heart. So at the coffee, new favorite character has
so
entered
good.
The chat.
I think this is where we've hit the 30-minute mark.
Okay.
I think we've done it.
So at the coffee shop, there is a new part-timer who I adore with my entire soul. I don't remember her name. I think she does say it one time, but I missed it. But she is delightful. She is very like straightforward. She is very by the book, and she is not messing around with anybody.
Right.
So
Mama
comes in
and
she's
her job, by the way.
She's like, there is an employee handbook and I am going to follow it to the letter. So Maha comes in and she orders coffee and is surprised when this part-timer is trying to make her pay. And she's kind of looks, the other girls, Lia and Hyunji, are sitting at the table behind her and they're kind of laughing because they're like, ah, she's got to go through it too. And she's kind of like, what? And she looks back and Hyunji like shows her receipt. She's like, no, you got to pay. And then Jihyuk comes in and he also has a receipt. He's like, yes, you do have to pay. So that was a fun little scene. We'll come back to her later, but I do love her so much.
And God, her scene later, it fills my heart with so much joy. The scene pisses me off.
The scene is upsetting, but I'm like, I am so team part-timer right now. Maha deserves to be obliterated. But anyway, so back at the hospital, Kwan Rock wants out. He's like, I'm good. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I want to go. And Daequan's like, no, you got to stay. At Energy, JM is putting pressure on... JM is Jinman. Sorry, I use abbreviations when I'm writing. So Jinman is putting pressure on Jaewoo. He's talking about Kwan Rock needs to stay in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, Jaewoo needs to get it together. His team is like struggling right now. Like, you got to lock this down. He is about to have a mysterious meeting. In the hospital, Kwan Rock texts Maha. Jihyuk is, as he's, you know, just texting her about like, you know, hey, what's up? Jihyuk is asking Maha if she's ready to go. Kwan Rock and Daequan have this little back and forth. Maha sends him like a cute little like kissy face emoji or a heart or something, like a bear holding a heart. And Kwan Rock's trying to decide what emoji to send back to her. And Daequan sort of... not accidentally, but kind of accidentally picks like a kissy face emoji and then like sends it all like, because Kwan Rock's like really debating what's going to be the appropriate emoji to send to this girl who is an idiot. So Daequan sends the kiss emoji. Maha just kind of laughs at it. And then that's the end. Like, it does nothing. And so there was no point to that.
The part that upsets me is that, once again, you have Maha able to laugh and joke with Kwan Rock. And then in, like, the next scene when they're together again, she's like, oh God, don't touch me. Don't look at me. It's like, Jesus. Mm. Like, if you're excited and giddy about his stupid kissy face emoji, then you need to not look like he's trying to hurt you when y'all are together. Mm-hmm. That's all. Sorry.
So at the filming location for the sitcom, Maha is sitting on this like row of seats, and Hyuk and Dojin sit down on either side of her.
Jungho's wearing a denim jacket. This is his second denim jacket of the episode.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Those are obviously for me.
Yes, he's wearing like a, is this the black turtleneck and the black pants and the denim jacket?
I think so. He also had like a denim that had kind of like a Sherpa collar at some point.
This is not the Sherpa collar.
No, this isn't the Sherpa collar. I think
this is just the regular. So they sit down, they're sitting on either side of her, and they're just sort of, you know, teasing her about dating Kwon Rok. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, if anything, if you ever need anything, if he's ever being weird or whatever, you can just, you know, knock on our door and let us know. Mm-hmm. And Dojin says, oh yeah, Kwon Rok's super immature. And Hyuk is like, no, 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 he's not immature. He's very pure and innocent. And Maha's like, yeah, I'll knock on your door if you need. And Dojin's sitting there, he's like, pure? He's pure? What? At the news place, Energy wants a positive article released about Kwon Rok's recovery, and there's a really good mood on set, and everything's great. Just showing us how these big corporations can kind of control the news that gets out. We go to the bus stop, and Eunjo is reading the article about Kwon Rok's recovery, and that's it. That's
Eunjo's back.
He's still floating around in the background, y'all. In the shock storm, Kwon Rok returns. Everybody's acting like super chill and laid back, and like they don't really care, and they're just like, "Oh, hey." Mm-hmm. And Daekwon's like, "Why are y'all being punks? Like, why? Come on, he was in the hospital. Be cheerful." But he walks down the hallway, and this like banner drops in front of him. And it's got, like, positive notes from all the boys. And they're all, like, peeking around the corner at him. And it's very cute.
It's very reminiscent of the 80s rolling papers. So that was cute. Mm-hmm. Another thing reminded me of 80s in this episode. And it was when Kwon Rok was, like, in the hospital. And he's like, no, I gotta work. I gotta do stuff. Like, I feel like 80s is so used to, like, working and stuff. That when, and I think even Hong Jung has said it. When they have to take a break, he's always like, like, what do? I gotta. So I thought that was very good.
Yeah. At the location for the, where Kwon Rok is filming his drama, this is the one that Eugene is in. He shows back up, comes back. The fans totally crowd the van.
Yeah.
So he can barely even get out, and like nobody does anything. They're like touching him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think this is how it works. Like, this just doesn't feel right.
And he gives, but the fans, his speech, it looks like he hates them, which, you know, fair, but it does seem like he hates them.
Yeah, they then kind of talk about his suspicious behavior. They're like, why is he acting like this? He's acting really weird. Eugene comes up when Kwon Rok gets here. He comes up and asks how he's doing because he's a professional. Eugene's going to hit a low point, but he's good now. But his low point is coming. I want everyone to know. Like, we are in the redemption arc, but he is going to backslide. He's gonna fall back into some bad habits.
And
prepare yourself.
It's
for
a
that.
Very big backslide.
Oh, yeah. So Kwon Rok asks Eugene straight up if he is interested in Maha, and Eugene says, "I used to like her, but I don't anymore." Kwon Rok
is
like,
"Which
is
news
to
everyone."
I know. I was like, "Since when?" But okay, I guess. Kwon Rok is like, "Oh, okay, cool." And he's walking away, and then Eugene's like, "But I'll be friends with her forever," with his, like, you know, serial killer face.
That's what I wrote. Serial killer, you know, vibes for sure. Like,
yeah. But this is like the tricksy, you know, you'll never catch me, you know, being kind of coy serial killer, where Kwon Rok, he's like, "Oh, well, I'll still be friends with her forever. I intend to be friends with her for a long time." And Kwon Rok, like, kind of walks back to him like, "What?" And he's like, "I just thought you were too comfortable." And I was like, okay.
I then also wrote, "I truly believe that Yoon-ho could kill this man."
I believe that he could and that he would if provoked. So.
Right? Based on this acting, I believe that Yoon-ho could and would kill him.
Yeah. They have a super intense fight scene, which is the clip that every A&E uses when they talk about wanting Yoon-ho to be in an action drama. And like, same. I am with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I just
on
want him to
issue.
Be in anything at this point. I think he could do it all.
He could do it all. And I just, why? You got these. Never mind. I'm not going to get into scandals and drama because I don't have the time or the energy. So at the studio with Ammonite, he's playing a song for Leah. And she's like, oh, it's nice. And he just kind of nods at her like, yeah, I know. I wrote it. Lee Hyun comes in and he asks, hey, did you think about, you know, doing the thing with me? And she's like, what part of I don't want to work with Shax was confusing to you? And he's like, okay, but what if it's not with Shax? What is this just with me, with Lee Hyun?
I really like this.
Yes, I love them. As a secondary couple, I love them a lot. I want their drama, like, separate.
Right. I that could be the main drama. Yeah. And Maha and Kwon Rock could be like the secondary.
Put them back there where they belong. And so she leaves and Lee Hun's like, man, she just won't give me a break. And Ammonite just laughs at him.
Mm-hmm.
At the movie filming location, Kwon Rock asks, this is growth because he asks Daequan for the keys to his car instead of just stealing it.
Though this man asks. Just needs to buy a car.
Company won't let him do it. I'm like, they let the other two. I know Jaewoo has a car, and I know that Dojin has a car.
So why would they not let their biggest star
have a car?
Well,
clearly he can't be trusted. He can't be trusted. So he borrows the keys for the car. He goes to pick up Maha. I put, why is she walking like a baby duck? Because she's in like a yellow coat, but she's like kind of waddling when she runs to the car. Like she's walking like a kindergartner. And I'm like, I understand that, like, you know, Korea likes cute things and young girls and that vibe and all of that. But like, get it together, Maha. You're a grown woman, theoretically.
It does border on uncomfortable. She's so short, which I too am very short, but she's so short, and then they style her in these like oversized clothing that doesn't look age appropriate. Her hair looks like a dirty kindergartner's, like, you know, like the whole vibe. And then they have Kwon Rock, who is kind of aggressive and tall and like much bigger than her. And so when you have them styled as they have them styled, and you have these scenes where she's acting like she is afraid of him, it does look like there is a large man and a small bitty child. and she is a victim, and it's a bad, it doesn't create a romantic feeling for me.
No. So they are trying to find a spot where they can, like, date in private, but they can't find anywhere where the people, like, where paparazzi, the news, can't find them. I don't know why he took her to the Han River and where they're by themselves, and she's like, oh, well, they can take pictures of us from across the river. And he's like, oh, okay. And then takes her to this, like, super popular, like, Christmas park thing. And I'm like, are you stupid? What are you doing?
It seemed like the Christmas park should have been first. Like, maybe the editing was bad on that.
Well, I would believe that.
I have a note about editing, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's here, but there is at some point where Dojin is, like, walking around, and he looks like he has almost black hair. And then a later part in the same episode, he has bright blue hair. And I know that dramas shoot out of order, but I think that this drama was shot ridiculously out of order, and that a lot of the scenes suffered for it. So, like, the continuity, like, I think that's why we don't have, like, a continuity in how Maha reacts to Kwon Rock. I don't think she knew where she was in the script when she's reacting to him. That's my note on continuity.
So, anyway, they can't find anywhere to date. So, they have this actually kind of funny scene where Kwon Rock, they just goes around and around and around and roundabout.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, hey, how do you like my driving? And she's like, you are so good at turning. I was like, okay, that was cute. But then he goes home back to the dorm, and he's really sad about his dating disaster. And Hyuk and Jojin are teasing him, but then they're like, okay, just ask for our help. We can help you. Mm-hmm. Lee Hyun comes in, and there's another funny scene where, like, he's kind of frustrated. He plops down on the sofa with Kwon Rock, and he is like, and Kwon Rock's like, what's wrong with you? You can talk to me. And Lee Hyun tries to do the, okay, so there's an A and there's a B. And Kwon Rock's like, no, A and B are taken. You've got to be C and D. And it was very funny and cute. So they're just trying to talk about their relationship issues, but they can't do it. So at the tea party dorm, Kwon Rock calls Maha. Oh, so after the conversation with Lee Hyun, Kwon Rock calls Daekwon. He's like, I need you to come pick me up at 4:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And Daekwon's like, I hate you so much. And then the next morning at the tea party dorm, Kwon Rock calls Maha like super, super, super early, calls her out. And then she like puts on makeup and everything and goes out to see him. He's like, okay, I just wanted to see your face. Bye. And so he has to go to his filming, which he is late for because he is supposed to be filming a commercial with Larima, who is frustrated because she's having to film alone. And he shows up super late. She goes right into his dressing room and is like, you look super happy. Are you dating somebody? And he basically gives away without saying anything that he's dating someone. She is so chill and cool and great. And this moment, because she's like, oh, I thought it would be me. And then she like very chill, like leaves and it like totally keeping it together. But then she gets outside of the dressing room and sort of slumps against the wall and is obviously very sad. Because for reasons that I don't understand, she did actually like Kwon Rock. Her manager comes up and she says, oh, I just don't feel like filming today. And you think for a second that she's gonna like quit. But then she like perks up and like gets right back to work. And I'm like, I have so much respect for this character. This drama falls apart without her.
She can do so much better than Kwon Rock. It's frustrating. It's like, girl. Can do
so much better.
So much better.
So in the coffee. Oh gosh. It's a low point for Hyunji. But in the coffee practice room.
Oh no. This is a low point.
She is staring in the mirror. And she's like trying to smile, I think is what she's doing. Like just smiling in the mirror. But like fake smiling. And then she says, maybe if I looked more like Maha, he would like me more.
Maha doesn't smile.
Ever.
It's bizarre.
I'm like, what are you? And then there's a part later where she's lost a lot of weight. Blonde
wig on her.
Yeah, seriously. But I feel like they're trying to imply that, like, because she's lost a lot of weight, the stylist notices. Yeah. And I feel like they're trying to imply that she's been, like, starving herself to make herself smaller, like Maha is small. And I'm like, Hyunji, she's like the size of a child. You are like the size of a normal woman. So like, we can't compare these things, but whatever.
And like, changing who she is for Yujin, please get it together.
So Maha is, she's filming somewhere, and I just put Ji-hawk is worried. I don't know.
I skipped up some parts, I think, because I wrote the chemistry is negative. And I believe that what I'm talking about is Kwon Rock and Maha. So that's my next note. The chemistry is negative.
Yeah, it really is. This next part is very exciting because we go to the KQ practice room.
Oh, yes.
Larima, again, favorite character. Best one in the whole drama. Larima is bringing a bunch of food to a group of girl trainees. Yes. And they're like really reluctant to eat the food. And she's like, you know, you're going to have to lose it anyway. So you just use it as motivation. You can do, the company's going to let me do whatever I want. It's unclear if I guess this is her company that we're at right now. Like. Because she is saying, she's like, it's okay for us to do because this is, you know, it's me. So I can do whatever I want. So the trainees are like really grateful to her. And that's just really heartwarming because we know that, you know, she had been rejected from a girl group before, but she's like really trying to make this better for the trainees that are at her company. And I think also telling that her response to getting a broken heart was to go and try to do something good for somebody else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, love her. At the tea party dorm, Kwon Rock meets Maha outside, but then it turns out that it is a flashback to the last time he was chasing her up the steps, but then he shows up for real. Maha is being really, she's being really stubborn and frowny, but like, I don't know why I pointed that out when
this is where I said the chemistry is negative. Because she's being like, it's like, why do you hate him again?
Like, why y'all are back here?
Y'all are now dating. Y'all kissed several times. You've been on a date. So why are you frowny and upset again? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Think it's because the drama was shot out of order. I don't think she knew that's the generous reading I'm going to give this actress. She did not know what scenes would go where.
Mm-hmm. They go hiking at night. So he takes her to go hiking. Like, this is the one place he could find to take her where they could be by themselves. Maha, because she's the biggest, dumbest, stupidest idiot, they're hiking. It's clear that, like, they're wearing hats, they're wearing masks, they're wearing, like, scarves to cover up their faces. They run into, like, another, like, they pass by another couple, and Maha recognizes the actress. Her name is Lee Ji-min, which is only important because she comes back later. And she, like, out loud with her big, dumb, stupid mouth is like, oh, it's Lee Ji-min. And then the actress, like, turns around, and it's like, can you, for once, have a single brain cell? Just one.
No.
I'm not even asking for two. She can't. And, like, Quanaragla has to, like, grab her and, like, drag her away. They go stargazing. They go back to the car at the end. And a paparazzi, it's the other reporter that works with the other reporter.
This is crazy to me because they know that people are watching. So they don't have, this guy is parked in the same parking lot, in this very small parking lot.
Yeah.
With his camera pointed directly at them. It is like, how did they not see this man? That's annoyance number one. The second annoyance is they've been wearing masks to cover their faces. They've been wearing these buckets. They get in this car and they just rip those off immediately.
Claude Rock takes his off before he gets in the car.
It's like, there what is are a scene. Doing?
He puts Maha in the car and shuts the door. He stands outside the door looking around, like looking. And I'm like, you don't see the photographer just right directly in front of you? And then he slips off his mask before he gets into the car. And then both of them, like, sit there and giggle and laugh with each other, which is not a thing that we've ever seen them do in real life, but they're doing it inside this car.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, and they're both, like, fully unmasked. And the thing is that Kim Ji-min does the same thing. She and the guy that she's with get in the car, immediately rip off the mask. I'm like, is every person the biggest idiot that we've ever seen?
Like, wear the mask at least for a little bit. Get to somewhere else. What are you doing?
So crazy. So the next morning, Maha is leaving her dorm situation. Mm. They've got, like, this gate that they have to go through. She gets to the gate. There is an envelope on the ground. She picks it up and she gets really distressed. I think we are led to believe that it's supposed to be, like, pictures. Like, somebody's taken the reporter took the pictures and put them in the envelope. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's something different, which we'll get to. But then in the epilogue,
the tribute pack is back. I have to see the that man kicked the tribute pack and destroyed it. Why is it here again?
Daquan was supposed to hide it, and you're telling me he just hid it in the back of the van? Daquan, I trusted you. I trusted you that the pouch was gone somewhere. Quanrock would never find it. He did find it. He found it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So he digs it out. He pulls out the notebook because he's like, I want to see what you really think about me. Where are, what time, what is this time period? Where are we? Like, when is he doing this?
What she really thinks is that you're going on dates together. Well, I mean, I understand how it's hard for him to interpret her shrinking away from him as love. Like, I agree. I, too, don't understand how she feels about you. But the fiction that the show is trying to sell me on is that they're dating. So
I wonder if this is supposed to be from before. I wonder if we're flashing back to some unclear point in the past. Because he seems, like, really, really bent on finding this pouch, pulling out the notebook. And then when he gets into the notebook, it's like a flip book that just says A Star Is Born, which is the name of his old dance crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how bored was she in this bus that she made a flip book about a dance crew that Quanrock is no longer part of?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's the epilogue. And that's it. That's all we get of that epilogue. And that brings us to episode 8, which has, it takes us a good, like, 15 minutes to get to the end of episode 7 when we start episode 8.
My first line of my notes is that the editing is so bad. Because we are now back on the hiking trail. They're hiking together.
Yeah. I don't understand why we needed, like, if you wanted a cliffhanger, why wasn't the photographer taking photos of them a good enough cliffhanger? Yeah. Why did we have to insert this other scene that actually doesn't even happen that next morning the way that you're implying it to happen?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It's really, the editing is so bad here. It's so bad. Mm-hmm. There's a part, they're back on the, like, hiking date, mm-hmm. and we're seeing them sit on the staircase, which I assume is a real thing in Korea. It's very cool. It's like a mm-hmm. staircase in the trail, and then there's like a door at the end, and they're kind of sitting mm-hmm. at the edge of the staircase with their like feet hanging off. And at mm-hmm. some point, she holds out a cup to him. Mm-hmm. And apparently she was asking to do like a cheers.
I was like, why is she holding that cup for him? Does she want him to put something in it?
Yes.
Does she want him to take it? What does she want?
I had no idea what she was trying to do. I was like, why is she being so weird? And then he like cheers her and then she's like happy. And it's like, that was so unclear that that's what you were trying to do. And that's what I mean about like the way she reacts to him is crazy. Because she like shrinks away from him, like her body physically moves away from him, and then she juts her arm out towards him and is just like holding this cup out. And I was like, what is she doing? And she was trying to do cheers. So that's what she was doing.
I Kwon-Rok is struggling to get up the mountains. They are trying to tell me that this man is not good at cardio, which okay, sure. Maha has this moment because she runs all the time. So she's mm-hmm. really good at hiking and whatever. And she like grabs the bag of whatever he's got away from her. And she's like, I'll carry this, because she's the stronger one in this one moment. She does the thing again where she sees Kim Ji-min and is like, Kim Ji-min!
We're trying to pretend that she's the stronger one. But do you remember when he physically held her on his back and ran down several flights of stairs to deposit her in front of her hotel? Consistency. The show doesn't have it.
Daequan is waiting in the garage when Kwon-Rok gets back. I don't mm-hmm. know why he's waiting in the garage.
Because they were taking his car. I just need Rook to buy his own car.
Seriously. At the tea party's door, Maha sneaks in, and then she has this whole thing where she's laying in bed and she keeps turning on and off the flashlight mm-hmm. of her phone.
I think she's... Okay, I wrote, what is she doing and why? But I do know what she's doing, or what they're trying to tell me that she's doing. She associates Kwon-Rok with stars. And so she's, like, shining her flashlight on the ceiling like it's the light of a star. And it's like, that is so stupid. That is not what a phone flashlight looks like. Like, it doesn't look like a star. It doesn't look like the light of a star. It's super bright, but that's it. It doesn't make any sense. And then
It doesn't make any sort of pattern. It just is light, and then it's...
I can't. And then where's Hyunji? Or Hyunji? She's...
We don't know.
She's not here still.
She really like dips at the beginning of this, like in these episodes. She's at the beginning of the first one and then she's gone for like mm-hmm. a long while. At the sitcom filming, she's filming a scene with Hyuk. Mm. Dojin and Hyuk tease Maha about her date. It's a fun little scene with her and Hyuk being siblings. And again, I'm like, I really feel like Jong-ho was having to work for this to make this seem like they have any sort of chemistry.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be like the older, feistier sibling. Mm-hmm. And she's like giving me nothing. She's mm-hmm. giving me nothing. She's just acting like Maha. Yeah. And Hyuk is really working. He's really working on it. But, you know.
I think this is where we get the different hair colors. Like, I think this is where Dojin, if you look at him, he's got like blackish hair. Mm-hmm. And then like later on in the scenes, he's got much, yeah.
At Sparkling's dorm, but their practice room, Min-Soo and Se-young are practicing. Yoo-jin is just sitting on his phone. Turns out he's watching Love Virus,
which is the name of Maha's
the sitcom. Name of her dumb show. Mm-hmm. Min-Soo and Se-young are talking about how I put stop lying, because right? They're talking about, oh wow, she's so good at dancing, she's really popular these days. And uh-huh. I'm like, you've shown me zero evidence of her popularity or of her good dancing. So
what I really liked about this scene is, as an ATEEZ fan, I have seen ATEEZ dancing and practicing. I have watched their K-Con performance with Sans hair bleeding onto his face from his sweat. I have seen the droplets drip off Songhwa's nose. Mm-hmm. These were not two men who were dancing. They have never been fresher faced. Yeah. Like, there is not a drop of sweat on them. Their hair is perfect. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. They've been practicing really hard.
There is not a single scene in this entire drama when a character has been dancing mm-hmm. where they do not flop on the ground immediately after they are done dancing.
The traditional every single one. End of dance.
Yeah, it's like they're not allowed to do anything else. They have to collapse on the ground, like, oh, mm-hmm. I've been dancing so hard. So anyway, so Se-young and Min-soo leave because they're going to go do a radio show. Yoo-jin says, in spite of how cool I sounded, I was lying, or something like that, implying mm-hmm. that when he told Kwon-rak that he didn't like Maha, mm-hmm. he was lying about liking Maha, and I put, damn it, Yoo-jin.
He, at some point, calls himself pathetic, and I was like, Yoo-jin, I agree. It is pathetic. You need to get it together.
Yes. And he is. He's working on it. He's in his redemption
arc. He is about to hit his dark, dark spot.
Oh, Lord. So, at Shax's dorm, Hyuk and Dojin are worried about the scripts. They just got their new scripts at the end of their previous filming, the scripts for the new thing. Kwon-rak comes in, and both of them are, like, hiding the scripts underneath them, like, oh, don't look at it. Turns out that they learned that Maha has a kiss scene. I thought at first that it was with Dojin, but it's not with Dojin. It is with some other actor. Kwon-rak acts very cool about it. He's like, it's just acting. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. But also, when are y'all filming next? When is that? At the filming location for Love Riders,
like, Kwon-rak, in my notes, any scene where they don't have to be together is fine. So, like, this scene with Kwon-rak is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the filming location, Kwon-rak and Daekwon are at the food truck. The food truck, weirdly, like, normally when they use the same food truck for every food truck event. And the food truck is covered with pictures of Kwon-rak.
Yeah.
It's just Kwon-rak on the food truck.
This is his food truck. His personal food truck. He didn't buy a car. He bought a food truck.
Yeah. Normally, when you buy a food truck for a person, you put pictures of the person on the food truck.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when KQ bought the food truck for... Because they did send a food truck to this filming location for Jung-ho, San... And I was going to call them all their fake names. I'm like, what are they really called for Songhwa? And you know, they put pictures of those four on the truck. They didn't put pictures of, like, Hong Joong and, you know, people who were not there. They didn't put KQ CEO on the truck. When Hong Joong bought a food truck for Mingi, it would have been hilarious. When Hong Joong sent the food truck to Mingi, he didn't put pictures of himself on the food truck.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes no sense for Kwon-rak to buy this food truck as showing support for Hyuk and Dojin, which is what he's supposed to be doing, and then put pictures of himself all over it. Because it's the exact same food truck that is at the filming location for his movie later with the fans all around it. So I'm like, all y'all had to do was switch out the paper. Like, why was that so hard for you? But whatever. So they're at the food truck. This very handsome, and I put, wow, this dude is handsome, shows up. And this is the actor that Maha has the kiss scene with in this episode. I just put the whole kiss debacle. I just didn't even want to talk about it. It's just this whole kiss debacle where Kwon-rak is watching the filming and losing his mind.
He's acting crazy.
Fully insane. And I'm like, is nobody else hearing this? Is nobody else hearing him be completely crazy?
He's not whispering. He's standing right next to the director.
Yeah.
And I'm just
and all these other staff members. And I'm like, are these other staff members just not listening? Are we not worried about them spreading rumors about Kwon-rak showing up to a filming and losing his mind over some random girl kissing another random actor? Like,
the part that I really did like was when they called cut and he attacked Dojin for he's like, that's not how you should look, and he like storms to him, he's all mad. That it was over the top crazy, but in like the way that was like very fun to watch.
Yes. His physical comedy is very good. So the way he like runs up the stairs to get to Dojin, who's creeping behind a tree and watching this whole scene happen, it was very funny. The Maha then, she gets a text from Kwon-rak and he like sends her this list of instructions to follow. It takes her basically to like a prop warehouse.
Yeah.
There's this part, they're standing like behind like a cabinet or something, and they hear somebody coming, and Kwon-rak like grabs her and just dives onto a sofa. And I'm like, how are you hiding right now? How is this different from just taking a step to the side where now you're behind another tall piece of furniture? Like,
One of those parts where it's like, Maha looks so terrified of him. Mm-hmm. He's having, like, a moment where he loves her, and mm-hmm. she looks like he just pulled a gun out.
Like, she, yeah. like, shoves him away from her. He didn't even look he was about to really do anything, but she, like, pushes on him.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of, like, oh, well, you were so comfortable kissing that other actor, and, like, you know, like, being very offended that she's, uh-huh. like, you know, not wanting to be anywhere near him, but she was comfortable with this other actor, and so she, like, kisses him on the cheek. His reaction is very funny, because he's like, what? You could have at least done it on the lips. And, like, and she, like, kisses him on the cheek and scurries away like the mouse that she is. She leaves the little warehouse and gets photographed by that same reporter. Claude Rock follows, like, right after mm-hmm. her. Doesn't even give it, like, more than 10 seconds. And he's following right on her heels. And he gets photographed as well. Daquan then drags him off because he needs to go do his job and not be hanging around this other filming location. At Energy...
Mm-hmm.
The reporter shows up, shows the pictures yes. to Jin Man, and is clearly trying to blackmail him to get him yes. to pay in order to keep this story hushed.
Mm-hmm.
A thing that I am absolutely convinced is actually happening in Korea.
I think so too.
I'm fully convinced of this. At the coffee shop, the part-timer and okay, this scene.
This is so good.
It's so irritating and so stupid. But anyway, so the girls show up. Maha, like, presents her credit card, like, right off the bat. She's like, I want a coffee. And I'm like, okay, she's learned. And then the other girls, they're talking about Maha's scene with, I forget what his name is. It's like Woobin or something like that. Yeah. Something Bin. They're like, oh my gosh, well, how was the scene? What yeah. was it like? And I think either Leah or Hyunji asked the part-timer, oh, do you know this really famous actor? Mm-hmm. And the part-timer's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I know that? And then Maha's like, oh, but do you know the famous boy group member Kwon Rock? And the part-timer's like, no. And then they get into this, like, really heated battle. It's heated on Maha's end. She's being, like, unnecessarily dramatic.
It is crazy how she's acting. It's so weird. This is not consistent with anything we've seen from Maha's character at any point in time. So the fact that she flips out.
Yeah.
She's yelling at this person.
I know. And the part-timer is not wrong. She's like, she names this, like, lecturer on YouTube who mm-hmm. helps kids study for the exams, and she's mm-hmm. like, that's somebody who's famous to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Maha's like, oh, that can't even compare to Kwon Rock. And Leah and Hyunji are looking at her like she's lost her mind, because obviously she has.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is she being so dismissive to this part-timer who yeah. is very clearly explaining, like, hey, people put their hopes and dreams into trying to test well and trying to get a good education. So it makes total sense for me to feel like this lecturer on YouTube is more famous to me than this singer. She's like, and in the end, isn't it just because everybody wants to earn money? And Maha looks so offended, and like she's about to fight this part-timer. And let me tell you, I would not get in a fight with this part-timer.
No.
She could take me down. And so Maha will get destroyed, and I kind of wish that they would do that.
The way she acts is so out of character for anyone. Like, mm-hmm. it's just crazy.
Hyunji is clocking all of this.
Yeah.
Hyunji's not an idiot. She is, but also isn't. She yeah. sees all of this and she's like, I'm sorry, is something going on?
Yeah.
And she kind of questions Leah as well. And she's like, what is happening? And both Leah and Maha look guilty. And I'm like, I don't know why Leah looks guilty, because this isn't Leah's secret. This is not, Leah's not the one who's been sneaking around. Leah's been doing her job. And she only knows about the one time that Maha went to the hospital. She doesn't know about, like, the mountain hiking thing.
Right. She doesn't know that Maha is literally dating this man.
Yeah. She doesn't know that. So I don't know why they're trying to play it off like she is equally guilty as Maha, because Hyunji figures it out and she's like, oh, and both of you know? Mm-hmm. And you've been keeping this from me? And I'm like, I think she's totally within her rights to feel hurt by this, because mm-hmm. she's being, like, kept out of the loop on all of this stuff. And, you know, treated like she's a lesser member, which I think that's part of one of her insecurities.
No one in this K-drama deserves Yeonji. That's my opinion. So
she's been beautiful and perfect this entire time, and I don't know why people are trying to make her feel bad. Yep, it's very frustrating to me. So she gets, Ji-hawk comes to pick her up for a schedule, and he in the van, he's like, I'm so sorry that you haven't had enough schedules. He's like, I feel like I'm failing in my job as your CEO. And he tells her, you know, don't feel left out. He doesn't really explain why she shouldn't feel left out. He's just like, don't feel left out. And I'm like, why wouldn't she feel? Lee and Maha are trying to call her to apologize. Hyunji goes and she meets up with the same designer. And this is where the designer's like, have you been losing weight? Because this dress doesn't fit you the way that it is supposed to. She's like, are you on a diet? And Hyunji's like, no. And I think that we're supposed to think that she's been trying to lose weight in order to impress Yujin, which is the most irritating thing I've ever heard. At the Love Virus film, the fan club are standing outside that one food truck that exists in this universe, and they're talking about how the reporter had leaked the photos of it's either Kim Ji-min or Lee Ji-min, I don't remember which Ji-min, the famous actress Ji-min, that story got leaked instead of the Kwon Rock story, and they're just talking about it. In the coffee practice room, Leah and Maha also find out about the Ji-min story, and Maha's like, oh, I remember seeing her at the mountain that night. Those photos might have been taken at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Jaewoo, so this is in the Shaq storm. Jaewoo is telling Kwon Rock to get some rest. He seems to imply that, like, he says, oh, I don't have a drama to film. So he seems to imply that, like, his schedules have kind of dried up. People aren't as interested in Jaewoo as they are in Kwon Rock, which is silly because I think Jaewoo is more handsome, but whatever. He says that, you know, we've been at this for 3 years, which is kind of crazy. Six years. He's like, it's been 6 years. You know, I just want to keep going without any drama. Kind of, you know, implying, hey, can you get it together? Because I know you're up to some shenanigans and you're going to ruin it for everybody. Maha and Kwon Rock are talking on the phone. Maha is talking about how Hyunji is upset. And she's like, oh, it's just a minor issue. I'm like, it's not a minor issue. Get it together. Kwon Rock talks about, you know, when you've been with your group this long, you really need to learn how to trust them. And I'm like, that's not the issue, Kwon Rock. It's not that Maha... It's that Maha is the untrustworthy one in this scenario. She should have told her group what was going on. And I don't feel like that's the point that he's trying to make, because he's also keeping his escapades away from half of his group. So it's like, you can't talk, Kwon Rock. Maha asks him if he's heard about what happened with Ji-min. And he's like, no, I don't know. And then she doesn't tell him. She's like, oh, it's no big deal. I'm like, girl, give him a heads up. Why would you not?
She's stupid. She makes the stupidest choice she can.
She always makes the dumbest decision. At a restaurant somewhere, we see Park Jin-man arrives, and he is meeting with the shady Omega CEO. He talks about Omega 3. He's like, wow, it's kind of sucks that, you know, you put all of that work into them and now someone else is reaping the rewards. And the CEO complains about Annie's death. He doesn't say that it's Annie's death, but we know that that's what he's talking about how she ruined the debut. Jin-man talks about lecturing people on morals, and the CEO says, well, that won't help me. That conversation makes absolutely no sense, but we learn that basically the gist is that Jin-man is sort of telling the CEO that he needs to go after Tea Party for breaking their contract. We learn this later, and we put the pieces together later, but I think the way that it's translated just doesn't make any sense. Tea Party then, so we go to the very next scene. Maha, we are finally back to the end of the previous episode where Maha gets the envelope.
So like 45 minutes in.
It's been a long time. So she gets the envelope and it contains a legal document telling her that she and her group are being sued for breach of contract, for having two contracts with overlapping contracts. The only smart thing that she has ever done in this entire drama is that the first thing they do is call Ji-hawk.
Yes.
To tell him. And I'm like, thank goodness they didn't try to like figure it out themselves like the big dumb stupid idiots that they can often be.
Got an adult involved.
Right. We learned then that Leah had thrown away her contract, and I'm like, I don't believe that. That doesn't track with Leah's character at all. Right. She's the one who's usually wise and level-headed, so I do not believe that she threw her contract away and Maha kept hers, because Maha does find her contract in her box of memories. The way that it takes them so long, because so Ji-hyuk's asking them, like, hey, is there anybody who can testify about the way that you were treated and the fact that you were forced into this contract? Is there anybody you can think of that would know? And they're all like, we can't think of anyone. And I'm like, Go Ba-hui is right there. Even I remember him. Why are we not remembering this character?
He was there all the time, and he was like driving Maha around the first episode.
He was their manager. So finally, Maha remembers, like, oh, Go Ba-hui, we need to talk to him. Leah's been holding, she's had lifelong beef with him because of the way that he abandoned Maha, because Leah is a gem, but also is a little stupid in this situation. Go Ba-hui is being very, like, evasive. He's a delivery driver now. Mm-hmm. And the way that he, like, refuses to answer Maha's call at first is super strange, because he's, like, trying to avoid her calls. He's trying to pretend he can't hear her. He's trying to pretend, like, they're static on the line or whatever.
Yeah.
But then later on, when they call him in and he's talking to them, he's like agrees immediately to testify, says that he's got everything from the offices. And I'm like, why was he so reluctant to talk to her?
Do you think he's been compromised?
What do you mean?
Like the old CEO got to him, and so he's like, yeah, agree to testify. And then when you testify, it'll all be good for me. You can lie.
I don't remember that being the case.
I've watched this drama 4 times. I don't remember anything about it. I just wipe it from my brain every time I see it.
Each time. So. Yeah. So anyway, at the Omega offices, it's not the Omega offices, but it is where the CEO is working now, the Omega CEO, Ji-hyuk storms in and confronts him. And this is where we learn that actually this was not coming from this CEO, but he's basically being a puppet for Park Jin-man.
Yep.
In the car, Kwon-rak and Dae-kwon see there's like a big screen up on the side of a building that's showing the news that Tea Party is, they're in a legal battle because of their contract. Kwon-rak gets worried. Tea Party are like, well, Ji-hyuk is busy, so we're going to just take ourselves to our schedules. We're going to keep it together. We're going to keep doing what we're supposed to do. Leah talks about how she's got to go to the studio. Maha needs to go to her filming. At the Sparkling, Larima, again, yes. So great. She's in her car.
Cool in this scene.
She's in her car and she's seeing the news, and like, she doesn't like Maha, but even she recognizes, she's like, okay, people are just being bullies. Like, as soon as this group gets a little bit of fame, now we're trying to make it a big deal and people are trying to take them down. And her manager's like, they're not even that famous. And Laruma's like, you're right. They're not even that famous. Like, why is everybody making such a big deal out of this? But you can see she's cooking. She's cooking something. Her brain is churning, and she's like, I'm going to fix this. Tea Party, at the Sparkling Dorm, Hyuno is being super toxic still.
Yeah, he's
trying, ragging on Maha, just being toxic. Se-young calls him out because he's like, all you've been doing is dating and flirting with people. You're not working. The manager has this whole pep talk about, like, this is why you don't accept money from people and whatever. Yujin's just moping. He's just leaning against a door and moping. In the practice, So in the practice room, did Daisy come in? I feel her chaotic vibes.
She did come in. She did. She's here. Hello, Daisy. She's being okay.
In the Tea Party's practice room, Hyunji is just moping in the room. And she's just like sitting against a wall and just feeling really sad. And she gets a call from Yujin and her whole face lights up. And she's like, oh, he remembered me. And he calls, and she's like talking about, like, oh, you know, talk about how she feels and about what's going on. And he interrupts her.
This is the worst that it will
this
get.
This is the worst. This is his low point. He interrupts her to say, how's Maha doing? And he talks about how, oh, she's been so busy. She's had so many schedules. I'm just really worried about her. And Hyunji lets him have it.
Yes.
And she's like, how dare you? How dare you call me to ask about, oh, wow, she's working. She's like, I got to get up here.
Yep, she's here.
So Hyunji, she just really lets him have it. She's like, why would you call me? She's like, if you want to talk to Maha, call Maha. And she's like, I also needed someone on my side. And she's like, clearly it's not you. So like, don't call me again.
This is beautiful.
I'm like, the way she stands up for herself finally gets her backbone. I'm like, yes, thank you.
Oh God, Daisy's making so much noise. Okay. She's fine now. She, like, it's really sad because it shows that Eugen is, like, not treating her well. Like, she's mm-hmm. going through a really hard thing, and he, like, doesn't even hear her. Mm-hmm. It's really...
He's got
it's,
such Maha tunnel vision.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not that he's a bad guy. He actually is a really, really good guy. We've seen him be a really good guy. We've seen yeah. him be smart. We've seen him stand up for people. We've seen him be decent. So it's just that he's so obsessed with Maha that he can't focus on anything else. It's and a very destructive relationship for him.
They need a more charismatic actress to make me believe that.
Yeah, like, to make it make sense as to why he would be so into her and would be, you know, completely ignoring this really beautiful, charming, lovely girl mm-hmm. that he has chemistry with. So whatever. So at Ammonite Studio, so after that low point, we get a cute little interaction. So at Ammonite Studio, Lee-hyun is in the studio. Leah walks in and she's like, "Why are you always here? What is going on?" And he's like, "Oh, how are you? How are you doing?" And she's like, "What? Why would I not be doing well? I'm totally fine." And he's like, "Well, I heard about the lawsuit." And she's like, "Well, I didn't do anything wrong. So, like, why would I be upset? Like, mm-hmm. come on." And she's like, "Why are you always here? Do you own, like, stock in the studio or something?"
And then she's very good here.
Yeah. After she leaves, Lee Hyun's like, "I do own stock in the studio, though." It was very funny.
Man, I wish we had a drama with those two.
I wish we, at least just more scenes. Like, just give me more of them, please. At the Love Virus filming, Larima talks to Maha. Larima's just everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere, all the time. Fingers in every pie.
And she's doing great work.
She's doing great. I would like to point out, she is wearing, like, black pants. She's wearing a black crop top and, mm-hmm. like, a really oversized leather jacket. She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And I get really frustrated with Maha at this point because it's chilly outside. And yeah. Maha is like, "Oh, well, you should dress more warmly." I'm like, I know that she's, like, trying to, like, be caring and whatever, but, like, step off, you know?
It does come off a little, like, patronizing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a grown adult woman, and I will wear what I want.
Yeah, exactly. But Larima's like, "This is my armor." She's like, "You never know when you're going to walk into a battle, so, like, I always want to be ready." And I'm like, thank goodness someone, someone has it together. In the van, Kwon Rock is calling Maha. Daekwon, like, opens the door. He's like, "I knew you would be doing this. You need to mm-hmm. focus or you're going to get hurt again. So get yeah. it together." They walk up and they talk to the director. The director asks Kwon Rock about Maha. And mm-hmm. Daekwon's like, "Why are you asking him about Maha? What would he know about Maha? What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Oh, well, you know, I thought that they were, like, friends and knew each other." And Daekwon's like, "No, they don't. No, they don't. No, they don't." Eugene walks up. Like, you can see Eugene coming up in the background because he's got that, you know, silhouette. And it's just like, he's so beautiful, but you're also so mad at him right now.
Uh-huh.
But he comes up and he, like, bows. He's got his curly, fluffy hair vibe going on right now. And he says, "Oh, Maha is fine. I'm a friend of hers and she's going to be okay." And Kwon Rock is, like, really upset that Eugene has this in that Kwon Rock can't admit to having.
Right.
So, like, Eugene gets to be Maha's public friend because for some reason nobody cares about that.
Mm-hmm. Which is whatever.
Yeah, it is whatever it is. At Energy, Ji-hawk storms in and goes off on Jin-man. Like, he's uh-huh. grabbing him by his lapel. Uh-huh. He's real mad. Clearly, there has been a long-standing beef between him and Jin-man. He says, "This is a warning. Do not mess with my girls." And Jin Man's like, "How about you get it together?" And he throws the pictures of Maha and Kwon Rock at Ji-hawk, and Ji-hawk sees it and totally freaks out. Had no idea that Maha was actually going on dates. And I'm like,
this is crazy. Are you because sure? He was there when Daekwon picked her up. What did he think was happening?
I mean, I assume that he's shocked because they got caught.
Yeah.
Or maybe he didn't know that they were actually, like, dating. He thought they were just, like, talking.
But this is the thing. If he was a good manager, why wouldn't he have, after, you know, Daekwon took her to see Kwon Rock, why wouldn't he have told Maha, "Hey, like, if you're going to see him, tell me so I can help you and we mm-hmm. can make sure that there's not a situation."
Right.
Because that's what he eventually says.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's like, well, of course, Maha just couldn't do it. Jinman says, he's like, okay, so are you going to keep making demands or are you going to make a nice request? Like telling him, hey, you need to play nice or I am going to destroy you.
Yeah.
In the van, Quan-Rock calls Maha. I put drop the act and I don't know what that means. And then that Quan-Rock is relieved. I don't know what any of that means. I know. I think that, like, she tells him, oh, it's not a big deal. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, that's good. At the coffee shop, Tea Party and Jiok are talking to Gobahui. He's talking, and this is where he says, yeah. Oh, I'll help you. I'll do whatever you want. I've got all of the information. I've got everything that you could possibly need. I took everything from the office with me.
Which is weird. So, like, you stole? This what? Is why I'm wondering if he, like... If he's, like, hooked up with the former manager, and the former manager was, like, go in there, say that you'll side with helpful. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't think that that's what happens. I do think that... Put a pin in it, I guess. ...turns out to be... I don't know. We'll find out. Jiok has to talk to Maha, tells her that about the pictures, and tells her, you cannot deal with this on your own. You need to let me help you.
Yeah.
At Quan-Rock's filming location, Maha calls him. He misses the call. He calls her back. She tells him about the photos, and Quan-Rock tries to play it off like, oh, it's not a big deal. There are pictures like that all the time.
Mm.
So she doesn't really understand how bad this actually is.
Which is crazy, because at the first episode, she wouldn't get in the car with him.
Yeah. Like, because she does know. So why is now she an idiot about things?
She's had her picture taken with him with the padded jacket, and it was a big deal then. So why would it not be a bigger deal now?
I don't know. At a coffee shop, not the coffee shop, but another coffee shop, Jihak meets with the reporter lady. He asks her to post all of the information that they got from Gobahui. He wants her to post that story, even though he's like, I know this is not going to make you any money, but I need you to post this story so that people always read the scandal stories, but they never find out like what happened. So he's like, I want you to post the truth. And she's like, oh, but this means that you're going to owe me a favor. In energy, Quan-Rock goes to see Jinman. He sends Daequan out because Jinman is yelling at Daequan. And Jinman is like, Maha is just using you to get famous. So you need to get it together. He asks him if he's told the rest of Shax about what he is doing, and Quan-Rock hasn't, so he feels guilty about that.
As he should.
There's a long scene where he's like, he's looking at memorabilia and he's contemplating. He ends up calling Jihak. He says, hey, what should I do? I'm sorry to call you, but what should I do? And he's like, what would you have done? And Jihak was like, before, I would have prevented it. I would not have let you be anywhere near Maha. But he's like, now I care too much about you as a person. So it's not about the industry. It would be about you as a person. So it doesn't really give him an answer, basically.
Yeah.
So then somewhere outside, Quan-Rock meets with Maha. She is acting like nothing is wrong. She's acting like everything is fine. She's not picking up on his vibes at all. She's trying to act like super cheerful. She's being sued.
There are pictures of her in in a relationship, and she's like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, and I'm like, is she just acting stupid? Like, is she trying to act like she doesn't know what's going on? Or, like, what's going on? And he does the where he grabs her and hugs her. And at first she's just looks kind of shocked. And then he's like, we need to break up.
And he says, I can't look in your eyes while I do this.
Yeah. He's like, we need to break up. I'm like, you've been dating for 3 days. It's not that deep. Then we get the epilogue where a young Jinman and a young Jihak are drinking. They're all obviously on more equal footing. They're going through a hard time. Jinman's really upset about just things not going well. And Jihak promises him like, hey, things are going to be better. Basically, they're just showing us, hey, these two men used to be like besties.
It seemed to me like what this was implying is that we were seeing Jinman's villain origin story. He is at his lowest of lows here, and he decides in this moment, I will do whatever it takes, even if it means mm-hmm. breaking the law because I will not yeah. be this low ever again. That's what it felt like. I don't know that that's what happened because we don't actually know what the low point is. It's just telling us that he, like, had a bad day. Like, that's what it seems
yeah.
like.
Yeah, it's like they're not being clear about, like, okay, is he in the idol industry? Is he in the entertainment yeah. industry at this point? Is he, like, does he have a small company? Like, do they work together? What's happening? And they never are very clear about that. We're just supposed, the only thing we're supposed to get from this is that he and Jiyeok were friends, and that's why they have beef, because Jinman feels like Jiyeok betrayed him mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And I'm like, if you're trying to make me sympathetic to Jinman, it's not working. No. Sorry.
I have no idea what they're trying to do. I don't feel sympathetic to him at all. I, in mm-hmm. fact, my last thing is the CEO sucks, and I hate him. So yeah. It's just weird. It's a weird vibe that they, like, all of the sudden take us to a place we've never seen. Mm-hmm. And we have Jihawk being super nice to Jinman. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like they're trying to tell me that this is Jinman's, like, or villain origin story. And I don't understand why. And I don't.
Yeah. Like, don't this like is why he is the way that he is. You get it? And it's like, no, I don't get it. I also really dislike that there's no continuity to the epilogues. Like, yeah. it's not all flashbacks. They're not all about Maha and Kwon Rok's origin story. Sometimes we get other characters' origin stories. Mm-hmm. They're not all, like, pre the beginning of the story, because sometimes they're just a flashback to a thing that happened last week. Right. So it's like, what is the purpose of these? Like, why do mm-hmm. we have these? Why is this just information that's not just in the drama, you know?
Right. I was thinking about some of the other, like, I've seen other K-dramas that do an epilogue that's kind of like this. Like, do you remember Crash Landing on You? Mm-hmm. They always had, like, an epilogue that was, like, a little extra from the episode. Like, it was, like, mm-hmm. an extra scene that we didn't see that would have belonged somewhere in the episode, usually. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, that scene wasn't critical to understand what was actually happening in the drama.
Well, wasn't it sort of like, here's this same scene that you've already seen, but now you're going to see a little bit of perspective from a different character?
I think so.
Like, I remember specifically there's that one part where, like, she's in, like, the market and all the lights go out. Mm-hmm. And what's-his-face whoever Hyunbin is playing has to hold up a lit candle. And they uh-huh. show the scene of him, like, trying to find the candle to light up to yeah. show her. Like, that it's like you're getting the same thing, but you're getting it just from a little perspective. It's like a cookie. Yeah. These are not cookies.
Yeah.
Like, you're not really going to fully understand the story if we don't tell you this information.
Uh-huh. Or, so like, tell it in the last
or it's
minutes.
Equally useless information that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Well, this episode sucked. Who is your biggest losers and your MVPs?
My biggest loser. I really should have thought about this.
I know my biggest loser.
From. Yeah.
Mine is Maha's bedside confession. Mm. That's my biggest loser. It upsets me a lot.
Just, like, the fact that it exists?
Just that she does a bedside confession. Mm. The whole thing, it takes us on a terrible road. Doesn't make sense for her character. The hiccuping, the crying, the fact that he's pretending to be in a coma. Just, like, the whole of it. That's my biggest loser. I hate everything about it.
I feel like mine would be obvious. Obviously, the biggest loser is Yujin for calling Hyunji.
Yes.
To ask about Maha.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Yeah. I've already picked that in a different episode.
That's an obvious one. It's like right there. I do feel like my second biggest loser, it would be everyone for removing their masks before driving out of the parking lot at the mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You caused problems for all of us. Mm-hmm. Everyone is suffering from your decisions.
I could even, you know, toss it up to Jihawk for not getting involved sooner. Especially with his history, it makes no sense that he wouldn't get involved with this.
I feel like the one thing that I would say for Jihawk is that he is a one-man show. He has no staff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just now gotten a part-timer so that he can do other things with the company instead of just working behind the counter. And I think that could explain why he's been a little bit more hands-off.
Yeah.
Which now he's able to be more hands-on because he's got somebody to run the coffee shop for him.
Yeah.
So I could give him that, but I do feel like he's been a little bit of an absent father. Like he's not... Oh, I forgot. There is this one part in here that Maha just slips in. It's when she's looking for Gobahui's number and she's got her old phone and the other girls say... Oh, you still have your old phone? And she just slips in totally casually. No mention before. She's like, oh, that's the number that my dad has. Okay, I guess. So I guess we're meant to that, like, we now know that I guess her parents are separated because we know her mom has her new number.
Mm-hmm.
So her dad doesn't have her old her dad only has her old number and she's not in contact with him. I'm like, okay, so you've got the phone turned off and in a box, but this is the only number that your father has to communicate with you with? Is that what you're telling me? And then they just drop it and nobody says anything. And it's just like, okay. I have no idea if that becomes important later or if that was just a useless little fact. I cannot believe that
it does. There's no way it does. I'd like,
so that hard happens.
Hard to come up with an MVP here. Larima, obviously.
Yeah. I feel like she's the obvious MVP, just really keeping it together. The way that she talks about, you know, having on her battle suit, having on her armor, and she's going to go to war. And the way that she just seems so much more capable than literally anybody else in this entire drama. Mm-hmm. I trust her. I think she will single-handedly fix this, I think.
The only reason I wouldn't give it to her is because... she can do so much better than Quan Rock. And so her being sad about it at the beginning is upsetting.
She gives, I'm going to go to bat for her because she gives herself like 30 seconds to be sad. And then she sucks it up and she's like, back to work.
Back
like
to
she,
work.
That's the amount of mourning that she gives him is 30 seconds. And then she never holds it against Maha. She immediately, like we never have a scene of her like being angry at Maha. The next time she sees Maha, she's like... why are people bullying her?
Yeah.
And then she goes to her filming location where she does not need to be and cheers her up. And I'm like, this character is so great. She's holding everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I'm not going to pick her for my MVP because I feel like that's too obvious.
Mm-hmm. I've got another candidate for biggest loser. So let's take a step back.
Okay, let's go back to that.
The one in Sparkling whose name I can never remember.
Keanu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Keanu. He's a... sociopath. So like the only, he is not given anything to do except to be sociopathic, which he does do well.
Yeah.
But like he doesn't have any likable or redeeming qualities at all.
Well, that's the thing. The frustrating thing about him is that I do remember he does get like a redemption arc.
Yeah.
But it's so short and so pointless. And it's like, you have not earned this. You've not earned this. I don't think, if I'm remembering correctly, I'm like, I don't think that he earns his redemption, but he does get his redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you've only shown me being him the worst that humanity has to offer right now. And yeah, now you're going to try to tell me he's actually not that bad. I don't think so.
Like him celebrating when Quan Rock gets hurt. That's a lot.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a lot. And then he, like, celebrates when Maha's, like, having trouble, too. And it's like, this guy's crazy. Like,
what did Maha ever do to you? What is that about?
He's a sociopath. So I would like to, you know, raise his little pedestal for biggest loser.
Yeah. I feel like he's one of those that he's there with, like, the wig.
Yeah.
He's just always the biggest loser. Okay, so for MVP, besides Larima, true champion.
Mm-hmm. The fashion designer who calls out Hyunji.
Mm-hmm. I do like the fashion designer. I feel like she just wasn't there enough. Like, she had one tiny little conversation. My MVP, I think, is Ammonite. Ammonite for giving a space... for Leah, where she's finally being appreciated for the wonderful person that she is, and for giving a place for her to kind of connect with Lee Hyun and give me my favorite couple of the drama. That's who. So Ammonite for me.
I will give a side step and go with Lee Hyun. I really think he's bringing a lot to the table right now. He's handsomer than Kwon Rock. Like, he's very handsome.
Listen, in my opinion, Kwon Rock is the, if you're going to list all the handsomeness levels of Shaq's, Kwon Rock's at the bottom. And I'm not saying that he's ugly. I'm just saying that every other member is bringing something wonderful to the table. And then there's him. So I'm like, your casting is really askew.
I mean, I would give it to Hyuk because Hyuk also does a very... Hyuk and Dojin are the forever MVPs. They shine in every episode. And I haven't given it to Lee Hyun yet. So my MVP is Lee Hyun. I think he brings a lot to the scenes that he's in. His interactions with Leah are very charming. His interactions with Kwon Rock are very charming. And I feel like he maybe deserved better than this drama was willing to give him.
Thank you for joining us for today's chat. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast.
You can find us on Blue Sky at Holochat Podcast or read more from our blog at ontini.com.
If you love books, you can also follow along with our spinoff podcast, Readers of the Lost Art.
We'll see you next time. Be the light. Yee-haw!